An argument rose among the disciples about which of them was the greatest. Jesus realized the intention of their hearts and took a child and placed it by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you is the one who is the greatest." Then John said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him, because he does not follow our company." And Jesus said to him, "Do not prevent him, for whoever is not against you is for you." And so the gospel of the Lord. The scriptures for today's Mass are particularly good and wide-ranging. I want to begin with the gospel's conclusion, "Whoever is not against you is for you." I find it stimulating to read or listen to voices from other traditions, identifying both the agreement and divergence from my own faith choice can be enlightening and stimulating. Recently, I've been reading two spiritual books at the same time, something I don't ordinarily do. One is by the most popular preacher of our time, Joel Osteen, who speaks to millions of people every week from his megachurch and then worldwide television ministry. The other is a quieter book from the Zen tradition. What I found amazing is that they're both, if not exactly saying some of the same things, and at least approaching common ground in their assessment of our spiritual journey. Joel Osteen, in his book, "You Can, You Will," deals with voices of defeat that often lead to sadness and immobility in our lives. He examines the ways in which we say to ourselves, "I can't do it," and especially, "I'm not good enough," and the damage this can do, especially to the most well-intentioned person. He would have us set aside what we used to call the old tapes of defeatism that run constantly through our minds and convince us that we're really not good enough and simply get stuck in a very bad place. The other approach, which I'm finding surprisingly complementary, is from Zenke Blanche Hartman. I'm reading her book, Seeds for a Boundless Life, Zen Teachings from the Heart. Zenke is part of the San Francisco Zen community, and while starting from a prayerful emphasis on immediate experience and encountering the now of the divine, she also rehearses the sorts of things that we can say to ourselves in a life to direct our behavior. The difference between her approach and Joel's is that rather than emphasizing the "I can, I will," very controllable public factor sort of thing, she allows the immediacy of contemplative penetration of the moments of presence and present experience to lead us to the discovery of ultimate divinity moving in our lives. I find both of these approaches to be very helpful and in some ways even complementary as we learn from one another the words of today's gospel can find a fuller expression for us. Whoever is not against you is for you. Perhaps like me, you grew up in an appropriate amount of Irish guilt. My poor mother would exclaim, "You kids are driving me crazy." And this sort of negativity was further refined by the spirit of discipline at school and in church and so on. Of course, in our high spirits and enthusiasm, we knew we were not all that bad, and even in the admonitions, there was a good measure of humor and love for all of us. Nevertheless, it's possible to come into adulthood with a negative self-image. When too much emphasis is placed upon rules and good order, a person can be trapped in life choices that are negative and spiritually diminished. "Oh, I failed. I'll never be good enough. I'm wrong again." Joel would have us change these phrases into "I can, I will." Well, the Zen tradition would have us focus directly on the possibilities of the moment and the connection that it can be for us with the divine. When I approach such moments, I like to ground myself in the full awareness of life and all its richness and opportunities and see what choices are really available rather than stumbling along in guilt. I would like to uncover and choose an imaginative, creative choice based on happiness rather than mere compliance with the law. And maybe here even get into something new. I found that measuring my life by my compliance with the law can only emphasize my failures and the dullness of my achievements. Certainly, law can be a part of the mix of our choices, but it won't lead us to real happiness. You may be able to say, I'm not guilty, but you'll never realize the full possibilities of your life. Perhaps a good example of a failure of moral vision is suggested by the level of discourse in the political climate of these days, approaching our presidential election. Much energy is spent on nitpicking and fault-finding, but very little is expended on a comprehensive vision of what really would answer the challenges we face in a globalized culture, economy, and all of the problems and challenges that this presents to us. I'd love to hear something new in this area. Using tools provided by my two spiritual advisors, I can now pose the question of what choices do I need to make at this time to lead me beyond a negative self-vision or a limited self-vision or simply being stuck in self-satisfaction or even a complaining attitude about life. What this can do and what I need to consider is how my small choices will reach beyond mere moral compliance and self-satisfaction. The word adventure suggests itself, and I would not want your life or my life to be about anything less. The temptation to remain comfortably in the sidelines, mouthing the phrase, well, at least I didn't do anything wrong, is the ultimate cop-out on life itself. My choices are limited, surely. My vision is. Abilities, certainly there, and they grow more modest by the day. And yet, I can choose the best for myself for this time. Following Joel's advice, I might achieve my personal best. By adding the insightful grounding offered by the Buddhist tradition, we can open the doors to what in our Catholic tradition is called holiness. Here we have a kind of self-realization in the service of love, which is the highest sort of adventure. People will notice, not your achievement, but they'll resonate with the love that pours out of you. Here we return to our gospel insight, whoever is not against you is for you. And we expand this loving realization of goodness in our neighbor, imagination, creativeness, and indeed in all people of goodwill. I'm convinced that we can find such a goodwill in the most unexpected people and places. To discover and celebrate such goodness in our brothers and sisters is the real adventure in life. I pray that you may be renewed by such blessing during these demanding times. May your courageous choices of the way of love lead you beyond all fear into the discovery of God's very life in you and in the hearts of our brothers and sisters who at first seemed to be so distant from us. This is an adventurous journey that will lead beyond all caution and fear into that fuller realization of life with which God has blessed you and to which today's gospel is calling us. Good luck in your journey.